You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Coming to us live from... Are you in the country? Are you in New Zealand or are you in the UK still?
From Australia for 24 hours. It's Ben Elton here saying a big hello to Dunedin. I'm in Auckland. I've literally come in to do a day of lovely promotion, tell people about my New Zealand tour, which is actually the final stop on a 150-day tour, which is taken in Europe, Ireland, UK, Australia, and now New Zealand. And it's all been a preparation for my Dunedin gig.
Uh-huh. It's so good. It's so awesome. Do you think that you're getting to the end of your rope with the material, given that you've been doing it for so long and so consistently?
It's all new material. Goodness gracious. I wouldn't be on the road if I didn't. It seems to have actually been one of perhaps my most successful ever tour for once. Maybe it's because I'm getting old. I'm 65 now. I'm finally getting great reviews, which was, you know, in the old days I certainly didn't, when I was sort of irritating people more. Maybe they've sort of got used to me. But it's a brand new show. I was last in Dunedin, I think, on the last tour only about 4 years ago, but it's all new material. I have an ongoing compulsion to write comedy. I've been doing it since The Young Ones in the early 80s. And through numerous novels and plays and musicals, but stand-up remains the most kind of vibrant part of what I do, because of course it's the part where a kind of the rubber hits the road, because it's just me and the audience, and there ain't no safety net.
No, there's no producers you have to consult as well. There's no network you have to please. It's all up to you as well. It's all very, very free.
Exactly. As long as I stay within the law, I can do and say what I like.
I want to touch on Blackadder very briefly, because that was a favorite show of mine in my childhood. And, you know, there are only 24 episodes over 4 seasons, which kind of reflects, you know, how British TV works, right? It's quality over quantity. You know, what was that a cultural kind of decision, or was that more of a top-down decision? No, you know, we can only have so much from one program.
Oh, well, stopping the Blackadder, just as stopping the Young Ones, or Upstart Crow, my most recent sitcom at the BBC, which is a sort of almost Adderish take on Shakespeare, starring David Mitchell. Those stopped because we didn't want to do any more, but the model whereby you don't do many is a kind of traditional British model, because they were always author driven. British television tends to be author driven. American television is driven by producers, or showrunners as they're now called, and they have a big room full of writers, and it can produce some great work, you know, but basically it means you can do 24 episodes a year or more, because you've got a room full of writers, the writer's room. Yeah. It's not how things work traditionally in the British media, and I'm very glad and grateful I grew up in that time when I could author my own sitcoms, that it was the writer's idea, not a kind of producer's dream. And I think it does make for a more personal sort of approach to art. And so, yeah, I co-wrote The Blackadder with Richard Curtis, but I wrote The Thin Blue Line, which was quite a big hit in New Zealand in the 90s. It's a conscious decision whether they want to carry on or I want to carry on. But the model of only doing 6 a year or 6 every couple of years, that's how British TV has always worked. We're slowly getting absorbed into the global monoculture, and British writers are going over and joining American writing rooms, and American producers are coming to Britain. I'm sure the same thing is part of New Zealand, the wonderful comedy breakout that happened, around the Concords and all that, has led to a lot of Kiwi artists working, you know, for the global colossus. And great, that's wonderful. But I'm happy in my little comic industry, cottage industry. I was able to do it when I was young, and I think it'll just about see me out.
Yeah, well, I don't like the whole global machine, because it just churns out, you know, what they call content. It's not like film, TV, comedy. Yeah, it's all content, you know, it's just stuff you do.
Yeah, producers literally talk about content without irony and without shame. And I do find that a sad thing, you know, the idea that a great new idea, well, what, you know, will it work as content? How much? I nearly got a drama away of my last novel at Netflix. But the thing they wanted to know was, how do we do, if it works, how do we do another series? I said, well, it's a novel, it's a one-off. Every now and then, auteur-driven work still exists. Michael White, who does White Lotus, he seems to somehow come from another age. Yeah. He's allowed to work on a model that I thought had disappeared completely, which was the writer-driven production. But hey, you know, look, it is what it is. There's lots of good telly out there. And we're in a golden age of pop music. So, you know, I mean, it's not as if it's all bad culturally, but yeah, I come from a different time, and I'm very grateful for the opportunities I had.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about, I guess, the new show and maybe your previous politics, because authentic stupidity seems to be a little bit misanthropic, and I think there's for good reason, you know, given what state the world's in and where we are politically. But, you know, given your early work on The Young Ones, which is a program that, quote, held a fractured and surreal mirror up to life in Thatcherite Britain, according to an article from The Conversation, you know, where are you now politically? Where do you sit? You're a bit, jaded?
My politics are the same as they've always been, which is basic welfare state social democracy. I'm with Clement Attlee, the British Prime Minister who introduced the NHS into Britain. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of bog standard left of centre social democrat. Neither am I as far left as many critics have accused me of being, mm-hmm. nor am I right wing as many sort of lefty Stalinist Maoists you know call me a conservative because I still vote Labour. Mm. Look, my politics got nothing to do with my art, or my principles drive my art. Mm. But I certainly don't expect, you know, I don't want to only play the people who vote the same way I do. We live in a democracy. That's rather a beautiful thing, and long may we protect it. Donald Trump shown us what it's like when kind of difference of opinion is weaponized. Mm. And you only respect your own views and those who hold them. So look, I'm a broad church bloke and always have been. But the interesting thing about me as a stand-up comic now is I'm now, in a way, I'm dealing with change that I wasn't a part of. We all get a chance to be young once. And when you're young, you're part of the generation that's driving all the change. The new music, the new thinking. Currently, this current generation have focused on identity and gender and sexuality is something they're going to the wall for. And that's all very interesting, mm. you know. But now I'm not part of that change. I'm having to process it like all sort of old radicals. I'm having to come up with my reactions to new radicalism. And I do so. I mean, whereas I say I used to talk about what I know on stage, and now I talk about what's confusing me. Yeah. I'm unpacking my bewilderment, but I'm finding there's an awful lot of laughter to be had in that. Cross-generational. Mm. I get all sorts. I mean, mainly my audience is older, but lots of times they bring their kids, you know, Gen Z. I got three Gen Z myself. They all love the new show, despite the fact I am having a gentle tease at some of their wilder notions.
Mm. You can call them Ben Z. Because they're your kids.
Ben Z, I like it. There's a reason you got your job, mate.
Thank you.
That's good.
You know,
my kid, Ben Z, yeah.
In a chat with the Project Australia, you're saying exactly what you just said. Now, you know, when you're young, you're a change maker, and you know, there's a path to enlightenment, but as you get older, life becomes a free fall into bewilderment. Do you think this is also because, you know, you maybe you're aging at a time when, you know, everything the media kind of tells you turns out to not be, you know, correct? You know, we didn't think Trump would get in 2016. He did. We didn't think Brexit was going to happen. It happened. Do you think that's kind of added to your bewilderment, the surreality of the world?
I didn't think Brexit would happen, although the level of mendacity in the campaign made me fearful, and lo and behold, that turned out to be true. Mm. Listen, there were good arguments on both sides for Brexit. It's just none of them were actually made.
Yeah.
I mean, free movement of labour is in one way a very beautiful principle, but in other ways, it makes it very difficult to organise labour. If a boss can literally bring in a bunch of lower paid people from a poorer country, then it makes it very difficult to organise decent wages and decent working conditions at the factory gate. Well, not factory gates anymore. So look, there's a lot of arguments around that, but none of them were made. It came down to race and culture war, and it was a disgusting campaign, as was Trump's. But no, I wasn't surprised he won. But listen, there's always been danger in the world. I mean, as I say on stage, you know, I'm a baby boomer, and I talk a bit about the generational differences. And of course, baby boomers always kind of pretend we beat the Nazis. We didn't. Our parents beat the Nazis. We were born shortly after that. So not only did we not beat the last lot of Nazis, but we've allowed a new lot to develop in our later life. I mean, it's in a way, you know, the great success of the, you know, the baby boomers were such a golden generation in the 60s and 70s, but it's all ending slightly worryingly, and a lot of that's on us. Mm. And I talk about that, but in a very amusing manner. I mean, basically, I point a few fingers at the young people, but there's a lot of fingers pointing directly back at me. Mm-hmm. And the whole point about stand-up comedy is to share in our mutual bewilderment. Mm-hmm. And lots of young people are very, well, my goodness, there's never been a generation, well, for a long time, more unsure of themselves, because how can they not be? The world could be over. They could be replaced by a machine. You know, it's a very hard time to be young. And I talk about that. And I feel very fortunate to have been young in the time I was. Even though at the time, it felt terrible. We grew up under the shadow of the bomb. I was born into the Cold War. Mm. It didn't end until I was 29 years old. Mm. So, yeah, look, every time is interesting.
Yeah, I totally respect that. I want to touch on UK politics just one more time, because I read that you weren't a big fan of Tony Blair on Wikipedia when he became Labour leader and Prime Minister in the 90s and 2000s. What do you make of Keir Starmer and the modern-day UK Labour Party?
I was just saying in Wikipedia, I mean, I think Blair did a lot of great stuff. I mean, obviously, he screwed up very, very badly over Iraq. I don't think he did it deliberately. I don't think he's a war criminal. I think he thought that Saddam was a genuine threat. Turned out to be not the case. Oh, God, Wikipedia. God save us from it. Although, I do pay him money because I use it a lot. It's great, except on modern contemporary figures.
Yeah.
I thought that Blair... I mean, in a way, look, Blair's probably slightly to the right of me, but not much. I think they did great work on education and what we now call levelling up. What a disgusting phrase. Starmer worries me at the moment because he seems to be... He's worried about the rise of the far right, but history tells us that you don't beat the far right by pretending to be a little bit more right wing yourself. You beat the far right by standing on your principles. But look, he's only been in power for 6 months. I have high hopes. I'm delighted we have a Labour government in Britain. Look, your listeners may not agree with me, but as I say, I'm out there as a comedian, and you certainly don't have to agree with me. As long as I'm making you laugh, I've fulfilled my part of the bargain. Since you ask, I think that I certainly wouldn't want to be Prime Minister at the moment, dealing with the collapse of the post-war alliance. Mm. You know, Putin is clearly a genuine threat. I mean, we have a Hitlerian threat on the borders of Europe.
Yeah.
This is a terrifying time, quite frankly. I mean, my dad was a refugee from the Nazis. I mean, I'm the son of a refugee. Mm. That's why I've got a lot of sympathy for refugees. Mm-hmm. I hope I would have anyway, but I've actually got literal skin in the game.
Yeah.
As somebody who is directly connected to the consequences of the last, you know, brutal hard men fascists wandering about Europe, you know, the rise of Putin is terrifying.
Mm. I don't know if you're familiar with this this figure from the BBC. His name's Adam Curtis. He's a documentarian. And he was talking to a Tory politician in the UK. And the Tory said, it's really hard to do politics these days because everyone on the internet is just kind of squealing like pigs. And you just kind of have to figure out what demands you can meet. But it's really hard because everyone has different, like totally different objectives.
Well, I think he's going to get elected very quickly if he starts calling his electorate pigs, even if they're on the internet. But look, mate, unfortunately, this is in depth. We're going to have to do it when I actually get you, because I'm, believe it or not, I should be talking to someone else in Dunedin in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
So I really appreciated the chat, mate.
Of course.
Let's do it again. I mean, yes. You obviously wanted to go deep, and I'm really happy to do that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, tell everybody I'm in town to do my gig, and let's have another chat and talk some politics another time.
Let's do that. Let's do that. What was the track that you wanted to request? It was Slade, right?
Yeah. I just love glam rock. It's from my youth. Play a bit of Slade. I've got to take this call. I'll see ya.
Take care. Bye. Take care, Ben.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. That was Ben Elton. We're talking to him about Authentic Stupidity, which is his new show. He's touring all across New Zealand with it, and he's coming to Otsipoti, playing the Town Hall on May the 1st. Hopefully, we'll get to have another chat with him around that time because he requested some Slade. Let's have some Slade. Here is Slade with Far, Far Away. You're listening to the Edgy Breakfast program. We will have the Surf Report later on. We also have Accordion Ryan coming on at 10 a.m. Thank you very much. Ka kite.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.